this is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the great Southwest, GVGSW, to my friends, and you're listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. A song not for now, you need not put stay. A tune for the was can be sung for today. The notes for the does not will sound as the does. Today you can sing for the will be that was. This is indeed Utah Phillips here in my hometown, Nevada City, California, through the good offices of community station KVMR in Nevada City, California, where no good deed goes unpunished. I'm in here in the studio with my engineer, Steve Baker, who really knows how to push the knobs. The music you were just hearing, of course, was Hawks and Eagles, Jimmy and Nancy Borsdorf, who very kindly did that for me. Special thanks today to Joe McHugh and Raven Radio Theater for helping us with certain technical problems that there are those of us who believe that the Second Industrial Revolution was a terrible mistake. Thanks, Joe. Jack Johnson was an African-American. He was a world heavyweight champion boxer from 1908 to 1915. That was a source of considerable aggravation to white folks, the notion that a black man should be the heavyweight champion of the world. Jack Johnson went to Britain to defend his title. He went down to the steamship office to get a ticket to come back, got the ticket, walked up onto the ship. The captain refused him passage, saying, "We don't haul any coal." Jack Johnson was left behind on the docks as that ship sailed, ran into an iceberg, and sank. That was the Titanic. I haven't seen that movie. $200 million to reenact a technological disaster is a technological disaster. In any case, Blind Willie McTell learned a song about that in 1912, and he's going to sing it for you now. Fare thee well, Titanic.
Blind Lemon and myself, we used to do this. And I'm going to say something about Jack Johnson on that, but you people won't get offended at that because I won't sing it to the colored people. I'll leave out that voice. But anyhow, I'm going to sing it to you. I'm going to sing it. And I assure you, it's Jack Johnson was a prize fighter at the time. That's the time of Whoop Jeffries, you know, 1912 or something like 10. But this is when the Titanic went down. It left down there, you know, and there wasn't nothing on there. The people used the name as crackers, which I don't use that name. I just people, you know. But anyhow, this is the song about it. And this tells a true story just about what happened on that ship in 1912. It's the first time I learned how to play on a 12-string guitar, 1912. I could play it on a 6, but you had to get your 12 and get your mind together, get some hands together, so I learned to play it, and I'm going to play it for you. The sea, the band is playing Jeremiah God today. Baby, Titanic, fare well. It was a midnight on the sea, the band is playing Jeremiah God today. Baby, Titanic, fare well. Titanic, when it got its load, captain, he hollered all aboard. Spare the Titanic, spare the whale. Titanic, when it got its load, captain, he hollered all aboard. Spare the Titanic, spare the whale. Titanic was coming round the curve when it run into that great big iceberg, couldn't turn. Spare the Titanic, spare the whale, he didn't see it. Titanic was coming round the curve when it run into that great big iceberg. Spare the Titanic, spare the whale. Titanic was sinking down, they had them lifeboats around. Spare the Titanic, spare the whale. When the Titanic was sinking down, they had them lifeboats around. Spare the Titanic, spare the whale. They had them lifeboats around, saving the women, children, letting the men go down. Spare the Titanic, spare the whale. They had them lifeboats around, saving the women, children, letting the men go down. Bad the Titanic, bad the will. Want to get on board, captain, he says, I ain't hauling no coal. Fare thee, Titanic, fare thee well. Jeff Johnson want to get on board, captain, he says, I ain't hauling no coal. Fare thee, Titanic, fare thee well. Talk about it now. So glad he didn't get on there. When he heard about that mighty shock, might have seen the man kind of eager off. Fare thee, Titanic, fare thee well. When he heard about that mighty shock, might have seen the man kind of eager off. Fare thee, Titanic, fare thee well. One more time. The Titanic, when the thing went down, standing on the mountain.
Well, there's Jack Johnson standing on the dock dancing the Eagle Rock. The Lord works in D-dum ways, his D-dums to perform. Well, now, everything else in the news, great ships. Well, of course, there's the great balloons, people trying to go around the world, multimillionaires trying to fly around the world in hot air balloons. There's something appropriate about that. They could stand in the basket and simply direct their remarks upward. I'm surprised they didn't make it. Maybe they'll come down in climes more propitious, places they like so much that they decide to stay there. I had a balloon myself. Now, I don't make this stuff up. I can, if you want me, you can write me and I'll send you witnesses that will verify this. When I lived in Saratoga Springs, New York, some years ago, there were four of us that pooled what money we had and put together a balloon. Three of them built it. It was called the Grand Union, a hot air balloon, two burners, carry about three passengers on a good day. And Clay Penny, Captain Penny, who was in charge of the whole project, took it around to circuses and fairs and so on around New York State in order to pay it off. We didn't try to fly it around the world. We tried to fly it from Glens Falls, New York to Albany. drifted a little bit off course because of the high winds and came down in Greenwich, New York. Now, I knew Greenwich, New York, because there was one small, extremely angry, quite elderly cop, the only town cop. And I knew him because he arrested my friend Jim Ringer for simply looking like Jim Ringer. Well, we came down in the town square, the Grand Union did. Now, the way that you do this is, any balloonist knows this, and I had a balloon license, a captain's license. You always have champagne with you and champagne glasses, so that if you're forced down, like in somebody's pasture, as the farmer is charging across there with his shotgun in his hand, by the time he gets to the basket, you have decanted the champagne, and you're handing him a glass of it, you see, to pacify him. So we hit the ground in the town square in Greenwich, popped the cork on the champagne, we're there with the glasses. This little cop ran out and busted us for having an open container. Well, it was a cause celeb in that town. The people around the square came out, and it turned out three of them, the banker, the druggist, and one other, were members of the city council. They stood there, had an informal meeting, rescinded the ordinance for the term of our situation, drank up all of that champagne as we turned on the burners and lofted ourselves into the air. One more time. Fare thee well, Grand Union, fare thee well. I was supposed to have a song right here about balloons. I had called my friend Glenn Howard, who's a rare record collector down around San Jose, said, what do you got about balloons? Well, he said he had an old 78 called the Noon Balloon to Rangoon, but it didn't show up in the mail. I'll play it for you when it finally does. The closest I could get was another person tried to fly around the world in the 30s. That was Amelia Earhart, one of the great heroines, one of the great pioneers of the air. Amelia Earhart disappeared over the Pacific, and I remember those rumors when I was a kid about her being imprisoned by the Japanese because they thought she was a spy. Nobody's ever figured out exactly where that plane went down. The song, though, which was very popular in its day, was written by Red River Dave McHenry. Red River Dave McHenry, oh, I remember the first song of his I learned was The Freight Wreck of the Altoona. He seemed to want to write disaster songs, and he was good at it. In his dotage, I met Red River Dave McHenry at the San Diego, California Folk Festival. Lou Curtis had found him in retirement. And oh my, you know, I thought we were going to be sharing the stage with a tiny old man who was going to reminisce with us. But no, we were all seated there, and he came dancing down the center aisle in fire engine red pants and a white Stetson and a snap button embossed shirt, jumping back and forth in a lasso through a great loop. And as he came to the front, he dropped it gracefully over a young lady sitting on the front row corner there and took his seat. Well, had him a chance to hear him sing his own composition, Amelia Earhart's Last Flight. I asked him, do you still write songs about this sort of thing? And he said, oh, yeah, Bing Crosby just died, so I wrote There's an Empty Golf Cart on the Fairway Tonight. And he meant it. He meant it. It was no joke. Well, right now, let's listen to Amelia Earhart's Last Flight, sung by Faith Petrick. Amelia Earhart was 17 years old when Faith Petrick was born. Faith has just started off on a tour of 12 cities in Australia at the age of 82. Amelia Earhart's Last Flight.
Speck against the sky, Amelia Earhart flying that sad day with her partner Captain Noonan on the 2nd of July. Her plane fell in the ocean far away. There's a beautiful, beautiful field far away in a land that is fair. Happy landings to you, Amelia Earhart. Farewell, First Lady of the Air. radioed position and said that all was well. Although the fuel within the tanks was low, but they'd land on Howlin' Island and refuel her monoplane. Then on their trip around the world they'd go. There's a beautiful, beautiful field far away in a land that is fair. Happy landings to you, Amelia Earhart. Farewell, First Lady of the Air. Well, a half an hour later, an SOS was heard. Her signal weak, but still her voice was brave. In shark-infested waters, her plane went down that night. In the blue Pacific to a watery grave. There's a beautiful, beautiful field far away. Story of that awful tragedy. We pray that she might fly safe home again. Though other planes one day may blaze a trail across the sky, we'll ne'er forget Amelia and her plane. There's a beautiful, beautiful field far away in a land that is fair. Happy landings to you, Amelia Earhart. Farewell, First Lady of the Air.
Well, my old friend Faith Petrick from San Francisco, California. Good luck, Faith. You headed out over to the land of the Hopperoo. You know, she has carried the torch of the true folk singer for, well, since before I was born. And what else is in the news now? You know, I don't take the big Sunday dailies because they're too heavy. It takes too much time, and they're made out of too much paper. I regard that as herbicide. So what I settle for on my Sunday is the Detroit Sunday Journal. It's a week late, but if I read a week old paper, there's non-threatening news in there. Anything in the paper that would have got me would have got me by now. So it's completely safe news. But Sunday Journal, continuing the struggle for justice and contracts. This is the strike newspaper put out every Sunday by the 6 striking unions in Detroit. Against Detroit News and the Free Press, Gannett and Knight Ritter. Well, they've been at it for a couple of years now, putting this newspaper out. The people of Detroit seem to support it, since circulation at the two dailies is down 32%. But then, who knows how to put out a newspaper? Who knows how to put out a newspaper but the people that do the work? Certainly not the witless parasites that feed off of the labor of others. I can get pretty rancorous about this. Anyway, if you're interested in finding out more about This newspaper here, the Detroit Sunday Journal, I suggest that you write to Detroit Sunday Journal, 450 West Fort, F-O-R-T, second floor, Detroit, Michigan, 48226. All right. Well, now I did a show for that strike at the Trumbull Theater back there not too long ago, and when I would give myself one thing a month to do that's out of town, and they gave me a recording. They had all gotten together and made a compact disc, a recording of strike songs, and all of the musicians on that record, from rock and roll to folk singers, were all striking workers from those six unions. And we're going to listen to one of those from the striking journalists of Detroit, Michigan, song by Ellis Ball with the music by Tom Lehrer. What they're striking against is the Detroit newspaper agency. This is called the DNA rag.
Says, get down on our knees and go on home, get off the streets, man. We say, lying, unfair guy. Get a life, get a life, get a life. Scabs are walking round the shop, and strikers, kids, and homes they're robbing. Good faith bargaining, oh, please pardon me, doing the DNA rag. Cops and judges say we got to wait, let those papers in and out the gate. Company grounds must be our border, and walk that line, stay in order. And guards and searchlights, helicopters, why is it us that must act proper? One, two, three, four, time to stop and shut the door. We will get up off our knees and say to Vega, Mr. Sleaze, your circulation's come unglued, so tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth. We will get what we will take, and you can try, but you can't break us. Finally decided, thousands united, doing the DNA rag. Cops and judges say we got to wait, let those papers in and out the gate. Company grounds must be our border, and walk that line, stay in order. And guards and searchlights, helicopters, why is it us that must act proper? One, two, three, four, time to stop and lock that door. We will get up off our knees to say to Vega, Mr. Sleaze, oh, people know everywhere we go, we're a mighty strong, mighty proud, mighty union. Sooner, later, we'll prevail, and you'll be cooling your heels in jail. Permanent replacements, put them in the basement. Good faith bargaining, oh, please pardon me, being fraternal and reading the journal. And now that we've seen the light, picketing all the night, doing the DNA rag.
Doing the DNA rag, yes, as Ellis Bowl and Tom Lehrer, for the striking newspaper workers. It's the labor movement has always been a singing movement. There are no Republican folk songs. If you want to define folk music, you define it negatively by saying that there is no Republican of it. Well, I was thinking about that strike, thinking about that song, and it broke something loose in my mind. I had been prowling through the Silver Bow Historical Society, which is mainly an old warehouse full of boxes up there in Butte, Montana, and ran across the story of the Butte Newsboys strike back in the teens of this century. The home delivery boys were getting a better rate than the other boys, you know, than the street vendors. By the way, one of the things I read in the journal in this issue is that what they're doing with the newspaper deliverers in Detroit, what the DNA is trying to do, is turn them into independent contractors, pay them the minimum wage that they can possibly get away with. But one of the conditions is you've got to have a good car. You understand? So it just keeps going on and on. Well, those newsboys in Butte, Montana organized. They organized a branch of the Junior IWW, Industrial Workers of the World. They all had their red cards, and they went on strike against the newspaper. And you're going to hear the song that came out of that, sung by my old friend and the country's best tramp that I know of, Mark Ross. Here's the Butte Newsboys song.
East side, west side, up on old Butte Hill, the newsboys, they went out on strike. Their voice is loud and shrill. Here on the corner of Park and Main, we'd like to make it known. We want to be paid the same amount as delivering your papers at home. Oh, the guy who delivers your paper at home, he gets him a little bit more than we get for standing out here in the cold. Then he stuffs it in your door. The company says that they can't afford to pay us the same as a route. But if we don't start getting the same as those stiffs, the paper, it ain't getting out. When our dads in the mines are all out on strike, everyone gathers round and joins in one big union. Solidarity wins hands down. I just wish that we'd get some respect, but everyone says we're too young. The dope who thinks he can take my spot had better know how to run. See the home delivery bundles, see them wrapped so tight. See somebody playing with matches, see the papers burning bright. There won't be no papers delivered till we get a raise in pay. A penny more per is all that we ask. Until then, there's no news today.
Well, that was Blind Kenny Hall from Fresno, California, and I don't quite remember the name of this tune. I think it's Hello Portugal or something like that. You'd be surprised at the amount of music that that man has in his head. As I was deciding what I wanted to play for you, I went back where I began, starting with the Titanic, and because of that motion picture, realized that there are millions and millions of people who now know about the Titanic who didn't. But, of course, over the years, people have known about the Titanic and have talked about it. And, of course, there was that older movie, A Night to Remember, with Clifton Webb, which I thought was an awful good movie. But it occurred to me that there are whole areas of our history that nobody knows about. Kids, adults, people that went through the public schools, they just don't know about it. I didn't, because I had to go to my elders to find those stories about the homestead, the American Railway Union, stories of the Pullman strike, the Everett massacre, the Centralia massacre, on and on, the massacre of 1913 in Calumet, Michigan. As I say, those were never taught to me in school. I had to go to my elders for those stories, who gave me a better, truer picture of who I am and where I really came from than the best history book I ever read. A story I heard from my mother about the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, again, something I didn't learn in school. Fire 1911 in a mill, 600 women, 90% of the employees were women, were doing piecework there, making about $15.40 a week. Well, a guy on his way to the restroom threw a cigarette into a bunch of waste on the floor, and the place caught on fire. They ran for the fire hoses, but the fire hoses were rotted where they bent. The valves were frozen shut. The exit doors were blocked. They were blocked because toward quitting time, the foreman would lock the exits so that the women couldn't sneak off with cloth to make up for the wages that they weren't getting. The building burned down. 146 of those women died, many of them jumping from the top of the building. I'm going to give you an old poem about that. And then we're going to listen to my old friend Frankie Armstrong from Great Britain. She'll sing a song, a more modern song called The Mill Worker. This is The Ballad of Dead Girls by Dana Burnett. Scarce had they brought the bodies down across the withered floor than Max Rogowski thundered at the district leader's door. Scarce had the white-lipped mothers come to search the fearful room than little Max stood shivering in Tom McTodd's saloon. In Tom McTodd's saloon he stood beside the silver bar where any honest lad can stand and sell his vote at par. 10 years I've paid the system's tax, the words fell quivering and raw, and now I want the thing I bought, protection from the law. The leader smiled a twisted smile. Your doors were locked, he said. You've overstepped the limit, Max, 100 women dead. Then Max Rogowski gripped the bar and shivered where he stood. You listen to me, he cried, like business people should. I've paid for all my 100 dead, I've paid and paid and paid. His ragged laughter rose and fell, for he was sore afraid. I've paid for wooden hall and stair, I've paid to strain my floors. I've paid for rotten fire escapes and all my bolted doors. Your fat inspectors came and came, I crossed their hands with gold. And now I want the thing I bought, the thing the system sold. The district leader filled the glass with whiskey from the bar, the little silver counter where he bought men's souls at par. And well he knew that he must give the thing the system sold, else men should doubt the word, keep back the system's gold. The whiskey burned beneath his tongue, 100 women dead. I guess the boss can fix it up. Go home and hide, he said. All day they brought the bodies down from Max Rogowski's place, and oh, the fearful touch of flame on hand and breast and face. All day the white-lipped mothers came to search the sheeted dead, and horror strode the blackened walls where death had walked in red. But Max Rogowski did not weep. He knew that tears were vain. He paid the system's price and lived to lock his doors again.
Granddad was a sailor and he blew in off the water. Father was a farmer and I his only daughter. Took up with a no-good mill-working man from Massachusetts. Died from too much whiskey and leaves me these three faces to feed. Mill-work ain't easy, mill-work ain't hard. Mill-work most often is a goddamn awful boring job, and I'm waiting and it's me and my machine for the rest of the morning, for the rest of the afternoon, for the rest of my life. My mind keeps wandering back to the day on Lake Erie, the vessels and the cargoes, fortunes and the sailors' lives were lost. It's my life has been wasted, and I have been a fool to let this manufacturer use my body as a tool. I get to ride home in the evenings better chance. And may I work this mill as long as I am able, never meet the man whose name is on the label, and it's me and my machine for the rest of the morning, for the rest of the afternoon, for the rest of my life.
Oh, Frankie Armstrong. What a powerful, powerful singer. I wish that she would come back to this country and travel about and sing. One of the great traditional singers of England, member of the Singers Club when it was first started by Ewan McCall and Peggy Seeger. Herb Edwards lived in West Seattle, and retired there on some little rocking chair check. A giant logger. He had worked in the woods of the Northwest as an organizer for the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW, a working logger. He told many stories in a deep baritone Norwegian accent, which I wouldn't attempt to duplicate. This is a story from Herb Edwards. He said, we boomed into Spokane, Washington, cities all over the West to look for work. Well, we'd always boomed in looking for work when the seasons were out. We'd jungle up in the flops, down on the skids, wait for something to open up in the forest, open up in the mines, over in the Coeur d'Alenes, open up on the wheat harvest, the Palouse rolling away south toward Oregon. When the weather changed, we'd go down on Trent Avenue. And this happened all over the West, every town. Go down on Trent Avenue, and there were rows of little shops there called labor sharks, where you could go in and pay $4 to buy a job from a labor contractor. Well, you'd burn up your road stake, booming up to the mine, booming up to the logging camp. You'd work for a month and then get laid off, paid and laid off. Why? Because the foreman on the job was splitting the labor fees with the labor shark in town. It was called perpetual motion. There was one person going to the job, one person on the job, one worker coming back to town to find another job. The IWW, the Wobblies, decided in 1910, Herb said, to organize and to build union hiring halls to control the condition of their labor. Well, the one in Missoula, Montana was burned down. The one in Spokane was torn down by the law. Well, that Wobblies went out on the street and put up soap boxes and started street speaking. They always set up across the street from the Starvation Army that was down there Bible-banging and telling these working folks if they give what they had to the Lord, they get pie in the sky by and by. My, my. That's a lie. Well, they were good at it. People flooded across the street from the Starvation Army and signed up in a fighting union, which offered a more immediate form of salvation than the standard garden variety. Scared the tar out of the city and out of the bosses, so they passed an ordinance against free speech, against speaking in public. It applied to everybody except the Salvation Army. Well, that's intolerable. Those Wobblies, everybody knows that the state can't give you free speech. The state can't take it away. You were born with it, like your eyes, like your ears. We all understand that, don't we? Like Campbell, the organizer, said, freedom is something you assume. Then you wait for somebody to try to take it away from you. The degree to which you resist is the degree to which you are free. So they said, okay, we're going to have a free speech fight because it's worth fighting for. They sent out a call to anybody in the territory cut loose from a job. They boomed into town on the freight trains, filled it up, set up that soapbox down on Trent Avenue in defiance of the law, built a line four blocks down, four blocks up, and every one of those booming workers took their turn on that soapbox. Had time enough to say, fellow workers, and they got arrested. The Finns were the tough ones. They were socialists when they got here. Finnish worker had learned enough English to be able to say, fellow workers, and if the cop wasn't right there, he'd say, where's that damn cop? Well, they filled the city jail, county jail, high school gym, grade school gym, every square inch of public space was full of busted boomers. But then the city had to feed them. The tax burden was enormous. And the taxpayers balked and said, we're not going to spend our hard-earned loot to feed that bunch of grimy grifters down in the slammer. So the city had to change the ordinance. And they won. And it didn't take any ballot boxes, and it didn't take any political parties. It is called Direct Action and comes to us highly recommended.
Joe Hill wrote a song for the free speech fight of 1910, and it was introduced on the streets of Spokane by Haywire Mac McClintock. He was a branch secretary then. He wrote Big Rock Candy Mountain and Hallelujah, I'm a Bum. He got together a little band, T-Bone Slim, a tuba, a garbage can lid. They stood in a doorway, waiting to leap out at the unemployed throng and regale them with song. They used a shill to build the crowd. You know, a carny shill? Somebody uses tricks to build a crowd. I think his name was Tresca, but he wore a black suit, a black bowler hat, a string tie with an umbrella and a briefcase, looked like a banker. He'd walk down where they were hiding in the doorway, and suddenly he'd start to yell, "Help! Help! Help! I've been robbed! Help! I've been robbed!" Everybody'd run across the street. "What's the matter? What's the matter?" As soon as he got the crowd together, he'd yell, "I've been robbed by the capitalist system, fellow workers!" He'd talk to them for 10 minutes, and then the boys would leap out and start singing, and this is what they were singing. "The long-haired preachers come out every night. I try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer in voices so sweet. You will eat by and by in that glorious land in the sky, way up high, work and pray, live on hay. You'll get by in the sky when you die. That's a lie." Oh, that's real nice. Let's take a minute and teach the folks that don't know this what this is. Now, this is done Baptist style. Are there any Baptists here? Oh, good. Answer back, you know, where I sing one thing and then you sing it back and then we sing a line together. And the way up highs are yours, not mine. They're the prettiest part of the whole song.
You will eat,
by
and by,
in that glorious land in the sky,
way up high,
work and pray, and
live on hay.
You'll get pie in the sky when you die.
That's a lie!
The long-haired preachers come out every night. I try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they'll answer in voices so sweet. Hey,
you will eat
by and by,
in
that glorious land in the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get by in the sky when you die.
That's a lie!
The Starvation Army, they play, and they shout and they clap and they pray. When they've got all your coins on the drum, they will tell you when you're on the bum.
You will eat
by and by,
in
that glorious land in the sky.
Work and pray,
live on hay. You'll get by in the sky when you die.
That's a lie!
Working folks of all countries unite. Side by side, we for freedom shall fight. When this world and this wealth we have gained, the grafters will sing this refrain.
You will eat by and by.
When you learn how to cook and how to fry. Chop some wood, that'll do you good. And you'll eat in that sweet by and by.
That's no lie.
Well, that was a story that I told sitting here in the studio, but then I cut it into that bunch of rowdies up in British Columbia. We were doing a rally in support of the communication workers who hadn't had a contract in 2 years and were striking against Connecticut General Telephone, the parent company. One of the great songs about the booming trade, about the go-abouts, people who worked and worked hard but didn't do it in the same place all the time. I want to play you another song like that. And this one is a pure pleasure. When I finished the broadcast last week, there was a young fellow standing at the door in the rain by the name of Steve Graff, who does auto body work. An elderly gentleman had quite an effect on his life some years ago. The fellow by the name of Leland Evans, born in 1917, died around 1995. He'd been blind from the age of 36. He had made his living breaking horses. But Leland Evans had made a song about that booming life, and Steve Graff brought it in because he thought that I might like to hear it. You know, I liked the song, and you're going to hear it. The thing that impressed me the most, though, was that here was a young fellow who had great and earnest respect for one of his elders, so much so that he would want to share Leland Evans' music with everybody. Now, this is one of those kitchen table, inexpensive tape recorder recordings that you're going to hear, but you're going to hear it anyway. And besides which, Steve Graff said that Leland Evans passed away. His wife would very much like to hear this over the radio. It's nice to have a job in the wintertime.
Will. Okay. Oh, it's nice to have a job in the wintertime when the chilly winds do blow. It's nice to get your pay on a Saturday when the ground's covered up with snow. But this morning when I went to work, I heard a birdie sing, so I quit the day, and boy, I'm on my way to some place I haven't seen. It may be north to Canada or east to Idaho, but when that old spring of fever gets you, boy, there's nothing else to do but go. Then it's away out west where the mountain tops goes a-climbing to the sky. There's where I want to stop and take a good long flop, watch the clouds go a-drifting by, and let me make my java in an old tin can beside a tumbling stream while the moon goes a-climbing up snow peaks and makes the world a silver dream. 'Cause there's no use now in staying here since the grass is a-growing green. So I quit today, and boy, I'm on my way to some place I haven't seen. It may be north to a town into some railroad yard. Show me a westbound freight. I'm gonna leave this town at 80, coming back till spring's here again. Then blow your whistle, Mr. Engineer. Let the fireman shovel coal. I'll be a-sitting on the floor in the boxcar door, a-watching the black smoke roll. 'Cause it's no use now in a-staying here since the grass is growing green. So I quit today, and boy, I'm on my way to some place I haven't seen. It may be north to Canada or east to Idaho, but when that old spring of fever gets you, boy, there's nothing else to do but go.
Yo.
He never coughed once.
Well, he never coughed once. All right. Steve, I'm glad that you brought that down. You know, people who want to do that, send them to me or bring them in. You know, this is radio, and this is the people's radio, and it doesn't have to be technically perfect. And I always thought the engineering mind was a collection of behavioral disorders anyway. Well, let's continue with that there. Respect for the elders. You know, I learned so much from my elders, and one of the most unusual ones was old Joe Trifonopoulos up in Tacoma, Washington. David Jackson, a fellow unionist, took me in to see Joe. He had one of the last true hat-making shops where he made felt hats, made felt fedoras. He's the one who told me that fedora gets its name from a play of the last century, the main character of which was named Fedora and had a specially designed hat for that play, but it became the fashion, became the vogue, and that's where we get the fedora. Joe Trifonopoulos had this about 8-inch high wooden donut that fit down over the top of your head. It was an old one, and when you slid your head into it, these little jigs popped out all around and pushed these levers up, and you slid a paper in the slot at the top, and when you pushed the lever down, it punched holes in that paper to your exact head size. And I said, "Boy, that sure helps hat makers." He said, "Oh, yeah, but we got the idea from the French police years ago. They used to have whole files of people's head sizes with this machine because that was before fingerprinting." Well, now, we were standing there jawboning, learning about, you know, the mercury poisoning they used to get making felt hats and so on. A young fellow walked in to buy a hat, tried on a whole lot of hats. looked terrible in every one of them, Joe Trifonopoulos said the truest of the true to him. He said, never wear a hat that has more character than you. Well, I was jawboning with him, as they say, for about an hour, me and David Jackson, and finally I said to him, why do the old men have all the good hats? And Jackson turned to me and said, that's a song. Well, that's been with me for the past 20 years, and I wrote about it in a newspaper article for the Almanac, Folk Almanac in Massachusetts. And just a couple months ago, Bob Norman from New York City came up with the chorus and sang it to me. So I finally sat down and wrote some verses, sent it off to Mark Ross in Butte, and he did, sat down at his kitchen table with his little inexpensive tape recorder, and he sent it back, so there it is. Why do the old men have all the good hats?
A young fellow went to the Sally one day to buy him a hat so he'd look the way. The hobos who sleep in the alley all do, but the old hats all look kinda new. So the kid caught a cab to a Western wear store to buy him a hat like the old cowboys wore. He steamed it and rolled it and crimped it and such, but that hat didn't age all that much. Why do all the old men have all the good hats? Their hair's getting thin, they need 'em, and that's why all the old men have all the good hats. Hats off to all the old men. So he thumbed down a ride to a truck stop he knew, and under the wheels of a semi he threw that Stetson until it was muddy and flat and looked like a beat-up new hat. Why should a young feller think he can pay for something to talk through when he's nothing to say? That secondhand store is not where it's at. It's under an old battered hat. Why do all the old men have all the good hats? Their hair's getting thin, they need 'em, and that's why all the old men have all the good hats. Hats off to all the old men. A hat don't tell nothing, the face says it all, like the moss that grows on an old garden wall. Why should a kid want to dress up like that when the old men have all the good hats? Why do all the old men have all the good hats? Their hair's getting thin, they need 'em, and that's why all the old men have all the good hats. Hats off to all the old men. Hats off to all the old men.
Well, that's been quite a stroll, hasn't it? This has been Utah Phillips and Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind, and I look forward to spending time with you next week. See you later. A poem from Robin Jernberg, who wrote it in the third grade at Dana Gray Elementary School in Fort Bragg, California. The River of Life. The hair on the mane of a wild blue stallion in tall mountain sky high full of snow drifting off into the distance is like the blood in the body of the champion runner just after he won the title, with Niagara Falls pouring over mountains in the distance, ghosts and ghouls drifting off into the heavens with streams full of fish piled so high you could walk on them. Your life running through time like a car on a highway, like salmon swimming and jumping up the watery stairs that lead to the end of their lives.